You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Jerry DiNardo joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Morning, Jerry. Morning, Jerry.
Good morning.
All right, Jerry. So listen, this is fun stuff. Obviously, we want to talk about the Fiesta Bowl, but let's take our time. Let's get there slowly. We'll start with the games today. And it's obviously fun to have bowl games. The Pinstripe Bowl is Michigan State against Wake Forest. How do you like Michigan State in that spot?
You know, you have to look at Michigan State big picture. You know, Mark D'Antonio, he made a bunch of changes on the offensive staff last year, as we all know. Disappointing season. I think he's actually going to spin this one forward with the team. I think he's probably worked the younger players pretty hard. You know, maybe the guys that haven't played, it's an extra 20 practices or whatever the rule says it is these days. So I think he's going to use this as a springboard, you know, first to say goodbye to the seniors, but also really to spin it forward to 2020. That's kind of Mark's style. You know, he's always got the immediate issue and the big picture issue, and certainly this year, the big picture issue is they've got to get better on offense in 2020. I think he's going to use that game to send that message.
Jerry, the other Big Ten bowl game today is the one I find most always entertaining to watch, is the Holiday Bowl and Iowa and USC. What do you think about that one?
You know, Iowa's really come on towards the end of the season. You know, I think they have finally, you know, made the adjustments. They lost two first-round draft picks at tight end on offense. I think Brian Ferentz has tweaked the offense more so to fit its talent, obviously, and I think that started coming on towards the end of the season. And Phil Parker just does such a great job on defense. I'll be surprised if this is a high-scoring game. I don't think either team is going to put a lot of points on the board. It'll be an interesting game. You really like Iowa as they get ready for this one.
What about, let's start tomorrow with the Cotton Bowl, Memphis against Penn State.
I don't know if you saw the news. Kurt Sciarocco, the offensive coordinator at Minnesota, who's done an unbelievable job at Minnesota and at Western Michigan when he was with P.J. Fleck, he has now taken the job at Penn State. And it's not going to impact this game, but I think it's a major move. I think it's a great move by James Franklin with his offensive staff. Penn State's young on defense. They really run well. They're well coached. You know, they've got one of the toughest schedules in the country, and I'd be surprised if they don't play really well in this one.
Before we get to the big game, Jerry, did that move surprise you? Because Minnesota obviously had that resurgent year. PJ would want to keep his staff intact, and then obviously Penn State is Penn State, so I understand the allure, but were you surprised?
I was surprised because Kurt has been with PJ for a while, but he is a Pennsylvania guy. You know, David, money's always an issue.
Yep.
You know, and I think he was making over $1 million at Minnesota, so heavens knows what he's going to make at Penn State. You know, they have more resources than most, and I think that's a big part of it. But I have to tell you, if you want to watch a clinic on the RPO offense, you watch Sciarocco's offense. I mean, it's not complicated. They're inside, outside zone, RPO. He's done a great job with Tanner Morgan. I mean, seriously, I think this is a great hire, and I think it's a game changer for Penn State. That's how good I think this guy is.
All right, the Fiesta Bowl is Clemson against Ohio State. Ohio State, you know, maybe it comes. J.K. Dobbins has been a phenomenal running back this year and is the key to what they do. But Justin Fields has had a phenomenal season, and he's bothered by injury. That knee has been an issue for him. It certainly was an issue in the Wisconsin and in the Big Ten championship game. What do you think about him and his capability of keeping up with a Clemson team that has obviously a very experienced team come back? They're not as big as they were on the defensive line. They're not as dominant as they were on the defensive line, but a lot of really good back end players on that defense and scary that they can put up points. Again, they're stepping up in class, in my opinion.
Right. So we met with Justin yesterday, and obviously we asked him about his leg, and he obviously couldn't answer the question. He was told he couldn't answer the question. I think he's close to 100%, Molly. You know, I mean, there's really no way of us knowing, but he is going to go in with that being a concern. And when you talk about the Clemson defense, they're more multiple than most defenses in the country. So there's a mental side of this that's going to be more challenging for Ohio State than any other game they have played this year. It's hard to believe that Ohio State could run the ball with J.K. Dobbins without the threat of the quarterback run. And so to your question, how much do you run Justin Fields? If you don't run him once or twice a quarter, you're probably going to run the risk of J.K. Dobbins not having a good night. If you threaten the defense and you run him once or twice a quarter and he breaks a couple and then he slides to stay out of harm's way, then I think they've got a chance to run the ball, and then when they could run the ball, they can throw it. Justin also has to protect himself. You know, he does have a tendency to break the pocket, and he's a little reckless when he's out there in the open field. In fact, I think he's more in harm's way when he scrambles on pass than when he's running the read option play. So both quarterbacks are absolutely going to be one of the big keys.
Which quarterback do you think has the biggest effect and impact on this game, Jerry? Because obviously this is a stage that Trevor Lawrence has been on before and has been phenomenal, and yet you can't discount Justin Fields because of the reasons you just sort of articulated. Which quarterback do you think we're talking about most after the game ends Saturday night?
I think we're talking about Justin Fields the most, but David, here's how. If Ohio State can protect him, Ohio State, the weakest part of their team is pass protection. You look at the championship game in Indianapolis. I mean, the protection wasn't great. You look at the first time they played Wisconsin. You look at some of the Penn State games when they got a rush on Justin Fields. If this offensive line does not protect Justin Fields, we will be talking about him after the game in a negative way. If they do protect him versus the pass rusher Clemson, then we'll be talking about Justin Fields in a positive way. Either way, I think Justin Fields will be more of an impact in this game than Trevor Lawrence. I think perhaps the Clemson defense will be what we talk about after the game, whether Clemson wins or loses. But the biggest issue in this game for me, the most important thing, is if the offensive line of Ohio State doesn't protect Justin Fields, they're not going to win the game.
Clemson has a way of embarrassing teams in these spots. Certainly we saw what they did to Notre Dame, and I think they shut out Ohio State a few years ago, if I recall, in the Fiesta Bowl, which was a semifinal. How important is this game for the Big Ten? How much, you know, we've seen Ohio State all year. There has been arguments that they were the number one team in the country and they were moved at the end and all the rest of it. LSU did enough. But what does this mean to the Big Ten if they can get it done and if they can't get it done?
Yeah, I think it's significant, Molly. I absolutely do. And I don't think the fact that they're playing Clemson and they were shut out last time they were here. You know, it's funny. The Ohio State kids were saying during the year when you were talking to them, we know we can't lose because there's no margin of error. In other words, they're tuned into, in their opinion, the college football playoff being biased, the committee being biased against the Big Ten. I mean, the players are, you know, they're following this thing just like we are. So they knew if they lost the regular season game, they may not make the college football playoff. So, again, to your point, I think they understand that it's not necessarily Clemson. It's not necessarily that we're back at the Fiesta Bowl. It's the Big Ten. It's what they have thought about us in recent years. We have talked a lot about this being the best team in college football this year. We've talked about this being many of Urban Meyer's teams. And I'll tell you, I've studied Clemson on coaches' tape against South Carolina, against Virginia, and there was one other game I studied. I think Ohio State has the better players. And I would say this might be like the first time in Ryan Day's short career where, you know, what happens on the sidelines during the game is most important because they have had better players than everybody they've played. Now, the gap has been close, Penn State, Michigan, but they have better players. In my opinion, they have better players than Clemson. Coaching matters in this one.
Jerry, these are great semifinal games, and I don't want to be negative here, but I do wonder why college football chose to stage these games when they decided to stage these games, because the national title game isn't until January 13th. And there's a lot of things that, you know, the compressed schedule, this gets lost in the shuffle. They're asking a lot of these student athletes, these players. What do you think about the schedule and why did they do it this way?
Okay. This is a topic that Urban has talked about, that Ryan Day has talked about. In fact, Ryan Day said yesterday, this was more like a bye week than it was prepared for a bowl game. He thinks they have been totally unfair to the players. I mean, and I asked him, I said, well, can you do something about it? He says, I'm going to do something about it as soon as the season's over. You know, the players, some of them didn't even go home for Christmas. So, but here's the issue, David. As I see it, here's what I understand. It was the Rose Bowl. The Rose Bowl held the college football playoffs hostage because they always want to play, I think it's on a Saturday. And regardless of everyone else's schedule, regardless of the student-athletes' welfare and benefit and so on, they had to have their way. So I think it's like every 4 years when the Rose Bowl is not or is part of the national championship games, like, I'm not sure how it works, this schedule is awful. And it was the pressure from the Rose Bowl. I can't be specific about it, but that has something to do when they're involved and when they're not involved. And it would have been a deal breaker if the Rose Bowl wasn't part of the national championship games every so many years. That's my understanding. But this schedule has been really tough. I don't care about the coaches. Coaches make millions of dollars. So they had a recruit and they had a game plan. I don't care about that. I care about the players. And this was the most unusual schedule. And I think that the American Football Coaches Association will try to adjust it. It's probably going to be a losing cause because the money's going to wind up being the issue.
Jerry, we'll let you go just quickly on the way out. Monday is Illinois against California. I don't know if the Red Box Bowl really is going to move the needle, but I know a lot of Illinois people thrilled to be in a bowl game.
Well, it certainly shouldn't move the needle. But in fact, my wife and I were talking about this last night. You know, bowl games are all relative. Like, you're watching Eastern Michigan versus Pitt. Okay, we can be sarcastic, we can be funny, you know. Pittsburgh is playing in that, Notre Dame is playing in the Camping Bowl. I mean, we could take a cynical and sarcastic approach, but for certain teams, any bowl game is a huge deal.
Right.
And it is
yes.
a huge deal for Illinois. And
yes.
I don't care what they call it, where it's being played, how many players are on the field at one time. If you haven't been to a bowl and you're at a bowl this year, it's a big deal.
Totally agree.
Thank
Jerry,
you, Jerry.
Thanks a ton.
Good stuff.
All right, see you guys.
That is Jerry DiNardo.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.